You again this evening. I thank you so much for being here. You know, we as Christians, we're out trying to convert people to the Lord, and when that happens and someone is converted, he's a new Christian, a child of God, and then we see them grow in the faith, that brings us great joy and pleasure when we see that. Unfortunately, not all new Christians grow as they should. In Hebrews 5 and verse 12, there's mention that they ought to have been teachers, but they needed to be taught again. And there's some that don't grow as they ought. Well, why is that? Well, one reason is because problems and disappointments often overwhelm the new Christian. And some even fall away. And this ought to concern older Christians, for we have the responsibility to those who are young in the faith to help them grow. And sometimes the problem in their falling away is partially because of us and because we don't do what we need to do in order to try to help them as a new Christian and in growing in the Lord. You know, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We are to be there for our brethren, to help them in their growth. Look in Romans chapter 15, and I don't have these up on the screen tonight, so if you would turn with me in your Bibles. In Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." So we do what we do to help them grow, to help them be built up. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we're told to admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. We are to be there for our brethren. And for those who are new converts, new Christians, we want to help them in their growth. The title of the lesson this evening is Disappointments That New Christians Face, and the reason that sometimes they don't grow, and sometimes they fall away. And the lesson is designed to help us understand and deal with some of the disappointments that new Christians face so that we can help them, so that we can help them in their growth. First of all, they face disappointments with themselves. You know, when they become Christians, they are filled with joy because of the anticipation of their being growing in the Lord, being what the Lord would have them to be. They're excited about forgiveness of sins. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. There was joy in his heart. And these new Christians have been forgiven. There's joy in their heart. They're excited about that. They're excited about the fact that they're in right relationship with God, their Father, the Creator of the universe, that they're in fellowship with Him. Also, that they are anticipating a new beginning, starting over, becoming more and more like Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, they're new creatures. They're excited about the help that God is going to give them as they change and become more and more like Jesus. But they soon discover that they have the same weaknesses that they had before they became Christians. They struggle with that. Temptations are just as strong as before, maybe even stronger, realizing the devil is their enemy, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Satan, we're not ignorant of his devices. He is going to be out to get that new Christian. And sometimes the temptation may even be stronger. And they can easily be discouraged and then just give up. Why? They're just disappointed in themselves and how they're dealing with the problems that come their way. And the question is, how can we help? Well, we can help by teaching them that transformation is an ongoing process. Look with me in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Now, Paul here is writing to saints, people who've already become Christians. Some may have been Christians for some time. And he says to them, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me ask you, when you first became a Christian and you were told that, was that the last time you needed to hear that? Well, of course not. We need to constantly be hearing this, that our bodies are to be presented as living sacrifices. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind, and that's every day. I get up in the morning and I think, here's what I need to do. And we renew the mind. It's an ongoing process of how we put off that old man and we put on the new man. Look at Colossians chapter 3. And beginning with verse 5. Therefore, now he's writing to Christians. Therefore, put to death your members. I need to hear that now as I did 40 years ago. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, we are needing these instructions throughout our life. It is an ongoing process. And we can help that new convert to let them know you're going to constantly be battling with Satan, and these are instructions that you'll need throughout your life, because we do struggle. Now, we're stronger. I'm not saying that those who have been Christian for 40 years are not stronger than those who are new converts, but they are constantly struggling with their enemy. And we also can help them by reminding them of God's willingness to forgive and provide strength. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Notice that word, faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have a God who wants to forgive and who is faithful. If you confess, you turn to Him, He will forgive you. In chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And our new brother or sister in Christ needs to be reminded of that. You've got forgiveness, the blood of Jesus, that when you sin, you can repent and seek God's forgiveness. And remember what Paul said to the saints in Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's ongoing. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And notice verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. As you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, by faith, love for Him, then the Lord is there working in you to will and to do for His good pleasure. And that new convert needs to see that, needs to be reminded of that. And that's how we can help them. This is an ongoing process. Yes, you're going to be disappointed in some decisions you made and in your growth process. But we all struggle. And we are there to help you. Don't give up. We need to remind them of these things. But also, they can be disappointed by their brethren. They may witness inconsistency in the lives of others. They may see those who practice things that are against what they preach. It really hurts when they see others who they looked up to committing sins that they thought they would never do. And that can be a disappointment to new converts. But you know, we know this problem is not a new one. You remember, we talk about this occasionally, about what Peter did in Galatians chapter 2, you remember? Paul talks about this, how that when he came to Antioch, and when Peter also came to Antioch, Paul says in verse 11, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. I think another translation says he was to be condemned. He was condemned. He committed sin. And so Paul withstood Peter to the face. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Notice, verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Peter commits sin, what he does here, and he influences others. And this may have been a discouragement to some of the new converts to see here an apostle of Christ disobeying the Lord. And another apostle has to rebuke him, withstand him to the face during this time. Now, I'm sure Peter repented. It doesn't say what happened, but my guess is Peter did genuinely repent. And no doubt he would say to all of those who he had influenced, I am so sorry. That happens. And new converts see that. And what happens sometimes is they don't see that genuine repentance on the part of the one who's committed sin, and that can become discouraging. Maybe they're ill-treated by brethren. May occur in the assemblies or in a business meeting or at work or at play where somebody who's their brother or sister in the Lord mistreats them, is unkind to them, sins against them, harsh words are stated, can be devastating to these new converts in the faith. And so here's this new convert who's disappointed in their brethren. Well, what can we do? Well, first of all, we can determine we're going to set better examples. That's something I determine I don't want to ever do, is to discourage a new convert by my actions. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, you remember Paul tells Timothy to be concerned about his influence on the brethren. And it has application to us as well. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example. How? In word, in what you say, in conduct, in what you do, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In all aspects of your life, show a good example toward others. We can determine to do that. And we can confess wrong when it occurs. As we mentioned earlier, sometimes we don't. Why is that? I suggest to you it's because of pride, because we think more of much of ourselves rather than we do of doing what's right. Proverbs 14, verse 16. Look there in Proverbs 14, verse 16. It says, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Have you ever known of a person commits sin and you maybe try to bring it to his attention? I'm not wrong. What are you doing? Accusing me of that. He rages on. He's self-confident. He's right. He's not going to be wrong. Now, the Bible here calls him a fool. And the thing about it is we need to fear, did I do wrong? If I have done wrong, I want to know that. Bring that to my attention. Because I don't want to stand before my Lord in judgment knowing that I have committed these sins. That's the view that all of us need to have. Even older Christians need it. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. We all at times do wrong and we commit sin, and there are times that we have to say, I am sorry. I'm sure Peter did that. And that's what we need to do, and especially as we think about the influence that we have on new converts. What am I doing to them? Am I discouraging them? Am I the one that's going to cause them to stumble and fall away? You remember what Jesus said about it'd be better for a millstone to be hung about your neck and you'd be thrown to the depth of the sea for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble? Also, we need to help the new Christian to realize that older Christians are also going through the process of transformation, like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 about himself. Beginning with verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says in verse 15, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." This attitude of pressing on, reaching forward. And that's the attitude we all need to have. And the new convert needs to see that's what we're all striving to do. But let's look at another area in which new converts can be disappointed, and they can be disappointed in the world. You know, the legitimate cares of this world often draws the new Christian away. Yes, sin, the pleasures of sin can draw them away, but even legitimate cares. You remember in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus tells the parable of the sower, some of the seed fell among the thorny ground, the ground that had thorns. And in explaining that, Jesus says the thorns are the cares and the riches and the pleasures that choke out the Word. And these cares of life may not be sinful in and of themselves. Things that relate to our jobs, our family, our hobbies, nothing wrong, nothing simple in and of themselves, but they can be take such a priority in our lives that it draws us away from God. And that's what can happen to the new Christian, is the cares of this world take priority and draw them away. In Luke chapter 10, 38-42, this is when Martha had welcomed Jesus into her home, to her house, and she was serving. Her sister Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to His words. Martha was distracted with much serving, remember? And remember what Jesus said to Martha when Martha requested, "Lord, do you not care that I serve alone? Tell my sister to help me." And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." In other words, Martha had neglected what Jesus here calls what is needful, that good part. Mary had chosen that. Martha had been distracted. That can happen to all of us. And it can happen to the new convert, and it can discourage them. Their unbelieving friends can discourage them. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, before we became a Christian, we may have been in the world, doing the things of the world, living a sinful life. We all have committed sin, but it may be that we were engaged in all the sinful practices of the world around us. Look at 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 3. Peter says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." And notice verse 4. "In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." Who are they? Well, your old friends, the ones you ran around with before you became a Christian. And now they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. They're speaking evil of you. What do you think they're trying to do? Well, one thing, they're trying to get you to come back. Come on, what are you doing? Making you feel bad. And so here's the new convert facing this kind of situation and these kinds of pressures upon them. Well, what can we do? Well, we can demonstrate what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells us, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, the necessities of life, things that we are concerned about, the cares of this life, they'll be added to us." The Lord's promise that we'll have what we need. Just seek Him first. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. And We need to demonstrate that in our lives as they see that we're putting Him first. And as we go through difficulties, maybe financial difficulties, maybe health problems, as we talked about this morning, and relationship problems, and they see that we're putting God first. And all the problems of this life, the cares of this life are not going to pull us away, and we can demonstrate how we can deal with those problems. Make it clear by our own example who it is we love the most. It's not our jobs. It's not our hobbies. We understand what Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 37, that he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If we're going to be His disciple, we take up our cross and we follow Him. And they see that demonstrated in our own lives. Develop friendships with new Christians in the Lord. And what I mean by that is friendships that are centered around Christ and His Word. Yes, social gatherings with them, getting with them, getting to know them better, letting them know that you care about them. But I'll tell you, what will really help them in their growth is when you have association with them in the work of the Lord, as you go out to evangelize together, as you're working together and studying together, praying together, visiting together, others, as we work together in the Lord's vineyard, then we are encouraging them and showing them how we can remain faithful within a world that is full of temptations, things that pull us away from our Lord. These are the things that we can do to help the new convert. But not only that, the new convert may be find disappointment because of circumstances in their lives. That may be due to much misinformation about the life of a Christian. Some think that all their problems will go away. But they don't. It may be an idea that's propagated by the gospel of health and wealth beliefs. And that is, if you give yourself to the Lord and you truly believe in Him, then you're going to become wealthy, you will not get sick, you're going to have everything go your way. And that's being taught in the world today. And maybe because of the misinformation, they've been taught error in this area, they're thinking, well, things are going to get better. But then they come to find out things get worse for them. See, such is not always the case, even as it was in the days of the first century. They need to know that even in the first century, there were those who became Christians who faced even additional problems in their life. Look here in chapter 4, 1 Peter, beginning with verse 12, how Peter puts it. He says, "Beloved, do not think it strange." That implies that maybe some were thinking, why is this happening to me? Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rather, do this. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And you find this idea in other passages as well. The Lord does not want us to get discouraged because of the suffering as a result of being a Christian. But He wants us to rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. You're sharing in the suffering of Christ. You're suffering as your Lord suffered. And then also He says that when His glory is revealed, you will also be glad with exceeding joy. There's a reward. It comes to those who suffer. We talked about that this morning on the radio program and the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, you remember, Jesus said, beginning with verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Why should I rejoice when being persecuted? Well, because I have a reward in heaven. And also because I'm in good company. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And the Lord places me in that association. What a blessing that is. That's what our new converts need to hear. Yes, you're going to go through trials, maybe even additional trials, because of your faith. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold trials." Because in falling that, it will produce perseverance, patience. You become stronger. Philippians 2, 25 to 27, Paul talks about Epaphroditus, you remember, who was sick even unto death. Yeah, a faithful servant of the Lord was sick even to the point of dying. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, besought the Lord three times that a thorn in the flesh might be taken away. He had a thorn in the flesh, and the Lord said no. He continued to have to bear that thorn in the flesh. And so when you look at the early church, early Christians, then they need to, the early convert needs to see that they went through trials and persecutions, and the Lord did not take all of that away as a result of their serving. What can we do? We need to prepare new Christians for trials and adversity, for they will come. As we've already mentioned, we need to warn them of it. And that's what Paul does in Acts chapter 14. After he had preached the gospel, I believe it was in Derbe, he then mentions to Barnabas, let's go back through Iconium, Lystra. This is in Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that was in Derbe, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Notice verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. A new convert needs to see that, needs to know that. Through many tribulations, we will enter the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, Paul says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So they need to see that. Well, there's other disappointments. Another disappointment that the new convert may face is too much negative preaching, where maybe the preacher constantly is exposing denominational errors. If all they ever hear is just preaching against what other people believe and what other people are doing. Now, certainly there's a place for learning about denominational error. That's a part of preaching the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 27, when Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There are going to be those who will not endure sound doctrine. We need to preach the truth in the face of opposition. That's a part of preaching. But there can be dangers involved if it is done in an arrogant, self-righteous spirit. If it is done to make us feel good or superior, how that we're better than everybody else. If it is done to the exclusion of learning what we need to do, how that everybody else is wrong and we're all right. You know, if that's all that the new convert ever hears, then that can be discouraging to them. You know, when negative teaching is done, and there's a need for that, it should be done for the purpose of trying to understand and teach those in error. We're wanting to do what we can to bring them to the truth. It is out of love for those in error. And it should be done as Paul did, it with prayer for the souls, as he prayed for his brethren according to the flesh, his fellow Jews, his fellow Israelites, that his heart's desire and prayer to God is that they might be saved. And that's what needs to be expressed in the preaching. What needs to be stated toward those who are in error is, we love you, we care for you, here's what the Lord has said, and show them from God's Word. And that's how we need to present these lessons. It should be done with the qualities that are mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In beginning of verse 24, Paul says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Notice, must not quarrel, but be gentle, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. What do we want? that they would come to repentance, that God would grant them repentance. That's our goal. That's the purpose. And we must preach it in that way. There's need for negative, but there is also that need for positive preaching as we preach about the love of God and what God has done for us, His grace, His mercy, and the hope that He provides and the help that He gives, and to encourage that new convert in those things. Well, these are five disappointments that new Christians may face, and some things we can do maybe to avoid or to help them through these times of discouragement. You know, Christians generally go through four stages of spiritual growth. And I think it may help us to look at these four stages. This is not delineated in Scripture, but I think this helps us as we think about what we go through as we first become a Christian. First, there's the ball of fire stage. They're on fire for the Lord. They just can't wait to get out there and just serve Him, and they're putting Him first in life. But then there comes the reality stage when the disappointments start to come in. And discouragements that we've talked about tonight. Then there's that up and down stage. Here people either grow through it or they don't. They fall away. They become apathetic. They may be just that pew warmer. They're not really on fire for the Lord. They're the ones who've left their first love. They keep coming, but they're not really happy in their service because they're lukewarm. They're not on fire for Him. That can happen. But as they go through that up and down stage, they need that encouragement to remain faithful. Don't give up. And then they get to the point of where there's that steady as you go stage, where that growth is now progressive. And that's not to say they don't have troubles and they're not tempted to fall away, but they've developed that habit, that way of living, that living by faith, where they're never going to give up. That's not to say they can't fall away, but they're steady as you go. And so those new converts that get to that reality stage and that up and down stage, we need to be there to help them through that so that they can develop to that steady as you go stage. As the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, that the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. That's the life of the righteous person. It shines ever brighter like the sun, ever brighter as he grows unto that perfect day. Well, to reach that stage, where will we grow steadily? Well, we need to have the realistic expectations of the problems to come. We need to be sure that we are converted to Christ, not to the church, the preacher, or the friend, but we are truly converted to Jesus. And we recognize there's going to be difficulties. We are real in our understanding of what life as a Christian is about. And if we'll do that, then we can reach that stage of where we're going to remain faithful, and we'll end that life, we'll come to the end, having that assurance that as I die, I go to be with my Lord. You know, the question is, have you been converted to Jesus Christ? You know, it's where you are in this stage. It may be, there could be some who are discouraged. They're thinking about giving up. I hope some things we've said tonight will help you not to do that. Get in there. Fight. Don't give up. It may be there have been some that haven't been as concerned about other Christians, and the way you've looked at others has not been the way it ought to be. Fellow saints, brothers and sisters, and maybe you haven't been as careful and is attentive to their growth. Well, let's repent and start thinking more in terms of what can I do to encourage my brethren, especially those who are discouraged and who are struggling. What can I do to help them in their growth? Whatever area where we may application of this, let's make application. And if there are areas where I need to change the way I think, the way I live, then do that. If you're a Christian, Go to God in prayer right now with a penitent heart. Say, God, forgive me and help me to be a better Christian, a better encourager to others. If you've never become a Christian, we want to encourage you to become a child of God. The only way that you can go to heaven is for you to come to Jesus and find the cleansing that's made available through His death. We encourage you to do that tonight. Come to Jesus believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.